The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, my fine engineer producer on the other side of the glass. Don't you wish we could have a bottle this particular weather and just keep it like this, upper 70s, low 80s through the whole summer? Well, this may be the last relatively cool day for a long time here, as the 100 degree temperature will pretty much start to set in over the weekend. It is the third day of May, 2018. I am Bill Buckmaster, and what a full program we have for you today, coming from AM 1030 KVOI. Tucson's Voice have our worldwide live listening. So many people listen to this program over the internet now at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And if you miss a program, we've got it so convenient for you. We have podcasts. We've got all of our programs, pretty much all of them, 99% over the last 7-plus years at buckmastershow.com. 790-2040 is the live line number, and very appropriately enough, with the news today of Arizona, the governor at 6 a.m. this morning signing into law the new Arizona budget, which of course will include a substantial pay raise for Arizona's teachers. Lots to talk about as we go now to Phoenix and the office of the Arizona Superintendent of Education, who happens to be with us on the live line, Diane Douglas. Superintendent Douglas, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. All right, let's get your...
Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's always a pleasure. We enjoy having you on our program. What's your initial reaction to so much of this news that's gone on over the last 24 hours?
Well, I'm delighted to see that the legislature and the governor have been able to get a budget through for Arizona. And I must say I'm happy because this budget includes so many things that I've been talking about. I've been talking about increasing education funding and teacher salaries. It's been in my last 3 years of Arizona Kids Can't Wait plan. And look at what we have accomplished. We've gotten Prop 301 off the fiscal cliff and got that extended. Better pay for our teachers, which I think everyone agrees. You know, I've been traveling around the state for 3 years now, and that's what I've heard. People want their teachers paid better. They're addressing the funding for our facilities. And then on a personal note for the department, we were able to get our IT funding secured for the ongoing maintenance. So that means not only have teachers been appropriated a raise, we'll be able to get the money to the schools.
Do you think the walkout played a huge role in getting the governor to go for the 20%?
Well, the governor, quite frankly, had the 20% on the table before the teachers voted to walk out. So, quite honestly, I'm a lot concerned about what this has done to our families and our students.
Do you have any gauge, Superintendent Douglas? We get so many reports about the strike and how here in Tucson, our districts had to shut down. There weren't enough teachers. How did the rural areas react to this walkout? Do you have any update on that?
Nothing particular, just anecdotally from what we hear. You know, at that prior to the walkout, there's no mandate to report to the department. Where we'll start sorting it out now is through looking at, you know, are school districts meeting their required days, and have they met the instructional hours that they need to meet?
Let's go to our live line. Jim Kelly, a friend of our program, called and would like to join in our conversation. Jim, you have a question for the superintendent.
I do. Superintendent Douglas, good to talk to you again. What was at risk in terms of outside funding, federal funding, grants, charitable organizations with regards to all of these school districts that were shut down. If they had remained shut down, how much would have been at risk for the next school year?
Well, I'm not going to play what if on if they'd stayed shut down. We know now that they'll be back in school tomorrow. One of the big areas of concern for me for those of us at the department is particularly vulnerable are students on IEPs that have mandated services under special ed that are provided. So that could potentially be an issue if they don't make sure those services are provided for those students.
So we don't know about immediate impacts, whether the school year would have to be extended. Does the week off extend? Will graduation in some places be at risk, or can you give us kind of a feel for that?
We are in uncharted territory here in Arizona with the magnitude of what this strike has created. Potentially, one of the things that will have to be looked at are, did school districts meet the number of days they're required to meet? The answer would probably be no without extending it. But concurrent with that is the number of instructional hours. So if they meet the instructional hours, will that be okay? What I had hoped, and they're still, because the legislature is still in session, is that they would look for a solution that would hold our students harmless, because we know we've been hearing it for the last week. Phone calls, letters, you name it, have been pouring into the department. You know, my child has, my student, my young man or woman, has tests they need to take to make college entrance or scholarship or into the military or potentially job offers. If graduations have to be pushed out, what impact would that have? Well, I don't want our students held accountable for the actions under which they had no control whatsoever.
And what could the legislature do about that?
Well, statute defines the number of school days and the number of instructional hours required. So I would imagine that districts will be frantically looking at their instructional hours, and that's something that's different at different grade levels. Kindergartners have, some amount of instructional hours. I believe it's in the 300 range. Junior high is about 1,000, and high school is somewhat less than that. So at different grade levels, the impact could be different whether they've met them or not. So if it's in legislation or in statute, certainly it's something the legislature could address with a one-year, one-time exemption to make sure our kids aren't paying the price for this.
Yeah, you hate to have any of the kids and the parents punished because, let's face it, plans are made a year in advance for family vacations after the kids graduate. The kids can have jobs in national parks that they have to report to. This is a mess, isn't it?
It certainly is. And I can't say that I fully understand it when I look at all the circumstance, but, I had implored the teachers prior to walking out and going on this strike that to allow cooler heads to prevail, please stay in the classroom. There was an excellent offer on the table for them, but, quite honestly, the wheels of government do grind slowly. But look at this. In a week, they were able to work through what the governor had offered and get it to an approved budget. So
I think a lot of people are asking a question, really, what was accomplished by the strike? I think that's what's on the table that people are wondering about.
Well, and I think parents have a right to that answer. I had said right from the very beginning, and it's just my opinion for whatever it's worth, but, the vote that was taken to strike should have been a vote, do we accept the governor's offer or don't we? And mm-hmm. then if we don't, what are we going to do then? But I never did understand why the first vote that was taken was to strike on our children.
All right, let's go to the live line. Ingrid would like to ask a question about teacher raises. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Yes, there was an issue about the raises for art and music teachers. Did they get included in the pay raise?
I would assume a certified classroom teacher is, but I don't have all the details of exactly what was passed last night. As a matter of fact, after this show, I have a briefing scheduled to get into all the details. I know yesterday there was a lot of discussion, yesterday, the day before, about what is the definition of a teacher.
Hmm. All right. Lots more to talk about. We'll keep you over for another segment, if that is all right, Superintendent. We're going to take our break right here, and I want to urge all of the Buckmaster Show listeners, if you're out and about and up about in the area of Swan and Sunrise, how about lunch over at Mona's Danish Bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise? Oh, my goodness, those breads that Steve and his team of bakers get up so early in the morning to make sure that you've got that beautiful bread for your sandwich at Mona's this afternoon. Stop by my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery.
Experience one of the most powerful stories of the 20th century, The Diary of Anne Frank, live on stage at the Temple of Music and Art. Don't miss this true story of a young girl and her family's struggle for survival against the inhumanity of the Nazi regime. A story of faith, hope, and belief in the goodness of humanity. A haunting adaptation of the original Pulitzer Prize award-winning play based on Anne Frank's diary. Arizona Theater Company's The Diary of Anne Frank, April 21st through May 12th. Tickets are at arizonatheater.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday during the noon hour, we talk with Tucson City Manager Mike Ortega. The Friday Roundtable features Joe Ferguson, political writer, Arizona Daily Star, and Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, Matt Russell, has Weekend Watch on Buckmaster on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice. Okay, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:19. If you're thinking of a great place to go for this weekend where it is cooler than Tucson is going to be, how about 15 degrees cooler and about a three-hour drive from here to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, for the complete list of the many fine places to stay over there and great recreation opportunities all laid out for you, including hiking, camping, and exploring historic Silver City. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. 20 minutes now past noon, and we have Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state of Arizona, Diane Douglas, with us. And of course, we're talking about the new budget and what will be about a 20% boost for Arizona teachers. So, Superintendent Douglas, the obvious question is, do you think this is going to make a difference in putting a dent in our teacher shortage?
I would certainly hope so. I mean, one of the issues that teachers have talked about is, you know, the compensation with the jobs that they do and the profession that they have. So I would think that, although if I remember some of my psychology classes, you know, money's only a motivator for so long, but it certainly, I think it would help attract young people.
Interesting front page story. I don't know if you had a chance to see it in the New York Times, and it was out of Arizona about education, and it talked about the fact that Arizona's, because our teachers are paid on average about $10,000 less than the national average, we've become a very fertile ground for overseas recruiting of teachers. And they followed one particular teacher up there from the Valley of the Sun who has had all these offers from the Philippines. I didn't even know that offshore recruiting was an issue.
Yes, we've heard of that different districts are using that for a resource. With all due respect to any teachers that come to our system, that's why I've been kind of an outspoken opponent of anything that the legislature or the state board has done to lower the standards for our teachers in the classroom and the certification of our teachers, because regardless of where they come from, we need to ensure that they will be successful with educating our children.
Overall, what did this school year, of course, it was dominated by the walkout here, but overall, would you say the issue continues to be getting enough teachers, certified teachers, into our classrooms?
That's going to be an issue that we will deal with. Again, some of the efforts that have been brought forward to help, and I'm kind of using my air quotes here, to help the teacher shortage, is really to lower some of the requirements and lessen some of the restrictions. And in my opinion, that's the wrong way to go. We need well-trained teachers in our classroom with our children.
So your 4 points that you brought up, do you think they were pretty well then covered by this budget? One being the expiration of Prop 301, making sure that didn't happen and getting an extension, the better pay for teachers, making sure the schools have funding for facilities. And you said that you were able to get some IT funding out of the budget as well.
Yeah, what has happened with our department is, for some reason, really unbeknownst to me, where every other state agency, their IT budget is built in, or their IT funding is built right into their budget, Ours has been offset with the Department of Administration. So every year we have to ask for the maintenance money to ensure that we can keep running our computers and, you know, and all the systems we have that help get money to the schools, help do the student counts. We have a phenomenal new system that is state of the art and is saving the taxpayers a lot of money in more accurate student counts and saving our districts time and money in how quickly we're able to process this. But every year, somehow it gets picked up like it's something new rather than ongoing work. So we are delighted that this year we've gotten, not only have we gotten the funding we needed to keep those systems operational, we didn't get any money to develop any new systems or replace old systems, but we got the money and it's actually now going to be in the department's budget. So that should give our school districts, our parents, and everyone who's worried about getting our money to our schools at least a sigh of relief.
How about school testing? I know Arizona's 10-year national assessment of education progress, which is designed to inform the public about academic achievement of American elementary and secondary students. That has been going up in Arizona, has it not?
Yes, it has. Our subgroups have gone up more than the national average, if I'm remembering all the facts and figures that I saw correctly. And our students have been doing well. Now, the cynic in me says, well, maybe part of that is because Arizona was not so quick to adopt the Common Core standards when they were foisted on us by the federal government, and we've since repealed them and gotten better standards for our students. So I'm hoping, you know, that might be some of what we're seeing reflected in that. But I put more faith in the NAEP test than I do in our AZ Merit test, quite frankly.
And what is that acronym for? You said the NAEP test?
National Assessment of Education Progress.
Okay, then that
one. And that's a long-standing test that's been around for many years. The challenge is from the federal government, we have to test every student. That's why we have our AZ Merit test. The NAEP test tests a sample of students.
Of course, this is an election year. You're going to be primaried. What are you saying why people should retain you for another 4 years, Diane Douglas?
Well, number one, Bill, is I've kept my promise to the parents and the voters of Arizona. I campaigned very hard on repealing Common Core. We do have new standards, new math and English language standards, and we are now moving forward with science and history and social studies standards. And I've always been an advocate for the parents and the citizens. You know, the superintendent's position is the only statewide elected office specifically to be the voice for parents and citizens. And I take that responsibility very, very seriously.
And I wonder how many calls you were logging up there at during this week of the walkout. You probably, your main number was probably overloaded with parents pretty concerned. Is that safe to say?
Oh, that is very safe to say. Our phone lines have been flooded. Our emails have been flooded to some degree from teachers. We've had teachers who, and I was very much opposed to this strike. Some teachers saying, why didn't I support them? Other teachers who wanted to be in the classroom and wanted to be back asking how I could help them. And certainly from parents that have some that just disagreed with the strike, but others that brought some very serious logistics to us. You know, what if graduation is on time? What if my son or daughter can't make their military commitment? What if my child's not getting the IEP, the special ed services they're entitled to by law? So we put out guidance before the strike occurred, and we've been trying to help all the parents that we can.
And you were very, as you say, opposed to the strike. What was the primary reason that you were very much opposed to teachers walking out at this point of the school year?
Well, two reasons primarily. First and foremost, it's illegal in Arizona to strike, and I will never condone illegal activities on the part of anyone. But the reality is, the other piece of it is my concern was for the students and their families. You know, it's the one thing I think FDR and I would agree on if he were alive today, that people who serve the public and choose to go into those fields should not be allowed to strike, because they're striking against their fellow citizens and they're providing essential services. We have to find other ways to resolve those differences, in my opinion.
All right. And to summarize, it's pretty much going to be a district by district on how this strike has this week off has impacted each school district in Arizona. Is that safe to say?
Yes, it'll depend on their schedule, their hours, have they the days, have they met their the minimum required hours. There's going to be a lot of sorting through to be done, even though now we're theoretically done with the strike.
Okay. Diane Douglas, always a pleasure. Thank you. I know it's very busy for you. You're actually going to get a briefing on what is in this budget package for education. Diane Douglas, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Bill. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much. Diane Douglas, Superintendent of Public Instruction here in Arizona. Very timely to have her on the program with her reaction. I'll tell you something else that's timely. Zocalo, they're at 2924 East Broadway. We made the announcement here on the program on Monday with the folks from Green Things and talking about the new marriage, as Zocalo will be part of the Green Things portfolio, moving all of that merchandise. Well, maybe not all of it, because right now it's on sale, pre-moving sale over at Zocalo at the corner of Country Club and Broadway. So great opportunity to pick up some terrific buys before they do move over to the new permanent location on 13 acres on the Green Thing site just west of Randy Fenton Park on River Road. Exactly 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. The Buckmaster Show. Once a month, we visit with Dr. David Levy from his observatory in Vail, Arizona. Dr. Levy is the Buckmaster Show contributor on science and former science editor of Parade Magazine. He's now head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Educational Organization. David Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, having discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9. That's the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. David is an Emmy Award-winning writer, Dr. Levy the author or editor of 35 books and other products. So, David, I just gave you the full introduction. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. In fact, this Emmy Award-winning writer is trying to fix up an article that my wife, Wendy, has edited last night and did not like it, so
Whoa.
I don't feel so Emmy today.
Okay.
But I'm working at it.
How has this winter been for viewing, your night sky viewing? Have you had a lot of...
Yeah, it's been terrible, Bill.
What?
Because we haven't had much rain, but we've had cloudy night after cloudy night almost every night for months and months, from about the beginning of February until about 2 weeks ago. The sky was cloudy almost every night, and it's just kind of broken now. And we're now getting better weather, and the weather's starting to warm up after a cold night last night. And we're looking forward to getting back into observing.
Are you going to that awards ceremony tomorrow evening?
Yes, I am, in fact. It's Friday night, and I really shouldn't tell you about it because the person getting the award doesn't know about it yet. And I'm kind of hoping to heck that he's not listening to your program right now.
What is the award?
It is called the Bart and Priscilla Bach Award. And it's presented when needed to as an achievement award in astronomy and in service to astronomy. And we've had it since about 1983, when Bart was still living. He is a very famous Milky Way astronomer. He has written 5 editions of his classic book, The Milky Way, and he wrote 4 of them with his wife Priscilla. And the 5th one, I remember being with him when it came out, and he was almost in tears when he said, and I'm dedicating it to the memory of my wife, this is the first time I've revised it without her. Anyway, Bart passed away in 1983, late that year, 1983, after I think we had the award for 1 year, and then we've given it on and off ever since then. And tomorrow, we're going to give it again.
Is the Milky Way visible all over the planet?
Yes, it is. And in fact, it is visible mostly from the northern hemisphere in the summer nights when it's going through constellations like Cygnus and Aquila and Sagittarius, which really is the center of our galaxy. It's like a great cosmic wheel, which marks the thickness of our galaxy.
Is it better viewing in the southern or northern hemisphere for the Milky Way?
Oh, it's better in the southern hemisphere because that's where the center of the galaxy is. And when you're in Australia and you look up on a nice dark night, you see the center of the galaxy overhead, it is absolutely amazing. However, Bill, here in Arizona, in summertime, the center of the galaxy rises quite a bit. It's not overhead, but it rises quite a bit, and we can see it from here as well. So it is absolutely spectacular.
Is summertime a better observing time generally here in Arizona than the rest of the year?
I think it is, except for the monsoons, which bring a lot of clouds and rain, much-needed rain to the desert. So other than that, the summer sky is really very, very nice. And one of my favorite things to look at is when we're at our annual Adirondack Astronomy Retreat, is to look at Messier 15, which is a distant and beautiful globular star cluster containing thousands and thousands of stars. When I look at that with a large telescope, it's like I'm not looking at it, but I'm walking through the lanes between the stars. It's just magnificent, Bill.
Quote of the month now from Dr. David Levy.
Okay, thank you. Tonight we're going to go to Alfred Lord Tennyson, and I'm going to quote from his concept about the lovely onset of night. The lights begin to twinkle from the rocks, the long day wanes, the slow moon climbs, the deep moans round with many voices. Come, my friends, 'tis not too late to seek a newer world. Push off, and sitting well in order, smite the sounding furrows. For my purpose holds to sail beyond the sunset and the baths of all the western stars until I die. Though much is taken, much abides. And though we are not now that strength which in old days moved earth and heaven, that which we are, one equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield.
Very nice. Tennyson.
Thank you, Tennyson.
Yeah. Very nice.
From his poem, Ulysses.
David, what about your autobiography?
Yeah, thank you for asking about that. It's finished. It's being copy edited right now, and we hope that it will come out in May or June of next year. So it's about a year away from coming out.
And you've been working on that probably off and on for at least 5 years.
Yeah, I actually started it by agreement with my wife, Wendy. I started it the day I got my doctorate because she wanted me to start that as my next project. So I've been working on it since 2010. It's finished. It's going through copy editing right now. And we're hoping for a pub date in Canada in May or June of 2019. But it should be out in the United States at the same time.
Where are you traveling to then next?
My next travel is going to be Montreal, and that won't be an astronomy visit. We're going to go to my mom's house, where we will be going through all the things and taking care of all the things that she had over many, many years in her home, and distribute them among the heirs to her estate. And then I'll be going to the retreat this summer, later on in the summer, with Wendy.
All right. And, of course, David, we talked last month about the passing of your mother and, of course, our condolences. And now this process, the process that all of us seem to go through after the passing, is then the whole sorting out project, which can be very, very painful, to say the least.
Yeah, well, it's actually the painful part is that it's going to take place on the 1st of June, which would have been my mother's 100th birthday.
Oh.
And so that's really kind of interesting that she just missed it by about 10 weeks.
All right, David, yeah. Safe travels. We have an appointment with you in June, and we will keep it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. David Levy with us. Always a pleasure talking with David about the night sky and the stars. What a talented guy. I'll tell you another talent. Our attorney here on the Buckmaster Show, Don Luce, he's in the house. The attorney is here. He's next.
This
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 12:46 on a very pleasant afternoon, kind of mid-spring afternoon here in Tucson. Boy, I'll take this kind of weather. If I could do this all summer, oh my. We are joined in studio, always a pleasure, one of our fine contributors, Attorney Don Luce of Luce, Brown & Hobkirk & Associates. Don and his team have a beautiful office here in Tucson, and of course, they're in the Phoenix area. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, is the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers in its second edition. And I keep telling Don, after this legislative session, you're going to need a second, or you're going to need a third printing here.
We'll need another edition for sure.
And is there a second edition now planned for estate planning in Arizona, what you need to know?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it's coming out next month.
And we will be talking about it then, I'm sure, after it comes out. So much news coming out of the state capitol. Don, first of all, it's great to see you.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be back.
In all of this frenzy, and this has been quite a week for Arizona, and education was pushed to the, from some might say, the back burner to the front burner. What did that mean to some of this kind of what's been called a veto frenzy from the governor?
All right, so that's a great question. Governor Ducey last month basically told the legislature that, look, I want to focus on teacher pay raises. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have you send me bills on other subjects. And so as a result of his refusal to sign bills on other subjects, there were 10 House bills that he vetoed. And now that the education issue has been resolved, he's telegraphed to the legislature that he's willing to reconsider the bills that he's vetoed if they can get them reintroduced and represented to him. So this is kind of interesting because the legislature has a deadline for introduction of new legislation.
That
every
was
year.
My next question. How are they going to get around the new legislation deadline?
Well, they suspended the rule and allowed the late introduction of bills. Normally, the bills would have to be introduced in early February. That would be the deadline for the legislative year. And as your listeners probably know, the legislative year is very short. We have a part-time legislature in Arizona. It generally runs from January to May. And according to the rules of both chambers, the legislation has to be introduced by a certain date, usually in February. Well, we're now in May. And in order to get these bills reintroduced, both the House and the Senate have agreed to suspend their rules for the to allow for the late introduction of the bills. But something else is also interesting, at least in my opinion, and that is normally in the House, once a bill is introduced, it has to go through committee and then be read several times. They've also changed that rule by adopting a bypass process so that when the bill is reintroduced and it comes in under a different number than the original bill, it's like it's brand new legislation, it now goes immediately to the third reading. And so that means it can be voted on the floor without going through the normal process. So they're accelerating the process to get these 10 bills reintroduced and then to the Senate. The Senate has also streamlined its process, but in the Senate, the bills will have to go through committee like they would normally have to go through. Governor Ducey has said, if I get legislation regarding the bills that I vetoed in April, I would welcome that new legislation. And it's pretty clear that now that the teacher pay raise has been taken care of, he's willing to consider the legislation that previously he wasn't willing to sign.
Is this a wide variety of bills that made it to his desk? And
yeah, I mean, they cover a range of topics from public meetings to other things that are fairly inconsequential in the large scope of things. But nonetheless, this is legislation that both the House and the Senate had approved and had sent to the governor for signature. And now the governor is saying, I would have signed that, but I wanted you to focus on education. And now that we've got that thing settled, I'll reconsider the bills if you can get them reintroduced and passed and to my desk before the end of the legislative session.
It just seems like he could have gone ahead and signed them and just move forward. It just seems like, just to me anyway, it seems like a lot of work now to go back and do all this.
Well, that's interesting because there's a feeling among some that the teacher strike itself was sort of similarly unnecessary. But, in retrospect, what's happened is the education concerns have been addressed. These bills that were vetoed during the interim are now being reintroduced. They'll be presented to the governor. They'll probably be signed. And at the end of the day, everything will be as it would have been.
Now, speaking of education, there had been a lawsuit from the Arizona's Attorney General against the Arizona Board of Regents. This was over tuition. And the Board of Regents, of course, are charged. They oversee the three state universities.
That's right. So Let's start with who the Attorney General is. The Attorney General is Arizona's attorney. The Attorney General, Mark Brnovich, manages an office with hundreds of lawyers, and they represent the state of Arizona in a myriad ways, including civil, criminal, forfeiture, anything having to do with the legal process. The Attorney General is charged with being the attorney for the state of Arizona. Now, in this particular case, the Attorney General filed suit against the Arizona Board of Regents, claiming that their rate hike was improper, and the Attorney General was looking for the court to enter an order to change that. The Attorney General argued that over the last 15 years or so, the cost of living has gone up 36%, but that the tuition at the three state universities has gone up more than 300%, in some cases more than a tenfold increase over cost of living. And the Board of Regents said, well, whether that's true or not, you, Mr. Attorney General, don't have the right to sue us. And the court agreed with the Board of Regents. And the reason why is the Attorney General can file lawsuits only under two circumstances. One is when he has specific legislative authority. So that's where the legislature says, if this law is violated, we authorize the Attorney General to bring suit against the violator. Or two, if the Attorney General has the permission of the governor. The Wow. governor says, Mr. Brnovich, in order to protect the interest of the state of Arizona, I authorize you to file suit.
So it's only under those two circumstances?
Yes. In this case, he had no specific legislative authority, and the governor did not give him permission to pursue the claim. So the Superior Court judge out of Maricopa County dismissed the lawsuit and ruled that the Attorney General in this case does not have the right to sue over the tuition hikes at the three state universities.
Why did Attorney General Mark Brnovich not understand that what he was doing was outside of his legal authority?
Well, I can't really speak to what he was thinking, but I will tell you this. Based on my observation of our Attorney General, he is fairly proactive, and he's thrown his hat into the judicial ring on many occasions involving many issues and matters, and I believe that he thought in this case he would be able to convince the court that he had the standing or he had the right to bring suit against the Board of Regents. The court disagreed with him. Lawsuit has been dismissed. Now, interestingly, Governor Ducey is probably not going to authorize the Attorney General to rebring the lawsuit because he's been quoted on record as saying he believes our universities are accessible and affordable. And of course, the lawsuit was over the tuition hikes, which the Attorney General said in some cases exceeded cost of living over that period by more than 10 times.
So you would think the governor then would be discouraging the Attorney General from some kind of a filing an appeal.
That would be my belief.
So that provision, again, and it was brought up here yesterday, we talked a bit about it with the U of A president, Dr. Robbins, and that provision, as and it is a quote from our Constitution, as nearly free as possible. And that is so open, loose to interpretation.
As nearly free as possible. So I'll give you one statistic if you're interested.
Yeah,
at
yeah.
the University of Arizona, in the last 15 years or so, tuition has increased by 370%.
Whoa.
Well, it costs money.
Yeah. So, and of course, they would probably say that they were coming from a point where it was one of the lowest tuitions in the United States.
Well, perhaps. Yeah. That would be a good argument. But I think this case establishes that the Board of Regents exclusively determines how much tuition is going to be.
Mm. Don't really have time to venture into another topic, but I do want to talk a little bit, kind of advance, about your updating your book about estate planning. It is so important, and so many people just back burner it, don't they, Don Luce?
They do. And the reason they do is because it's often difficult to think about, talk about, and plan for death.
But thinking about your own demise.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you from doing this for a long time, there is so much more to estate planning than just death planning. During your lifetime, a myriad things can happen that would cause you to be benefited by having an estate plan in effect. For instance, if you become incapacitated or disabled, you would want a third party. If you're married, your spouse, if you're not, somebody else, to be authorized to make decisions for you, financial decisions, healthcare decisions, and other important life decisions. And the way to do that is to get a proper estate plan together, including a financial power of attorney and healthcare directives and a living will.
Yeah, and it can be a will or a trust. Yeah.
It can be. Now, a living will is a series of directives that a person gives concerning health care. A living trust is an instrument that in many cases substitutes for a will, and it keeps the estate out of probate because the successor trustee has the authority to deal with the assets on incapacity or death.
All right. Don Luce, this is one of the few sessions we have not talked about Arizona's legal marijuana.
You know, right. Well, I ran across a statistic recently, which I found interesting, and that is that we now have well in excess of 150,000 medical marijuana cardholders. The program has only really been in effect for about the last 5 years, even though it was passed by the voters in 2010. It took several years to make the judicial hurdles, and we have over 100 dispensaries statewide.
And growing, I assume. All right, Don Luce, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
Don Luce, whose offices, Luce Brown, Hobkirk Associates offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Coming up this afternoon, Ray Allen helps Mike Shaw, and together they put together Mike Check from 4 to 6, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9 tomorrow morning, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, with the city manager, Mike Ortega, tomorrow at noon. Have a great afternoon.